It is good to be with you this evening. We are not going to be looking at one particular passage because we're going to be looking at one particular life of one individual and hopefully learning some lessons from it. It was put on my mind to preach this message tonight after coming back from the funeral of my brother Jim. It is a fascinating thing when you consider how different people turn out, even from the same family. So I am the youngest of seven kids. I have five older brothers, and we all went through the similar experiences. We all went through the difficulties. We went through the joys, all those things in a similar fashion. But we ended up much different from each other. And a lot of the way we end up in life is based off of our choices, based off of the things we decide to do and the things we decide not to do. And so what I'd like to do is examine the life of a biblical character named Lot, and to examine the choices that Lot makes, because it is a really interesting way to view what is going on. The first place we're going to find Lot is in Genesis chapter 12, and you don't need to turn there, just listen as I read the first four verses. It says, "Now Jehovah had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." So Lot, Abraham's nephew, decides to go with Abram. And I'll probably flip back and forth between Abram and Abraham, but nonetheless, you know who I'm talking of. So Abram goes with Lot. Lot goes with him. And this is a good choice. God has told Abraham, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. So if you have been in a situation in life and you see God blessing someone, you think, you know, I'm going to be close to that individual. I want to be near that person. Because if God is blessing them, maybe some of that blessing is going to fall off on me. You know, sometimes when you fill up a pitcher of water or a pitcher of something, and you keep pouring, well, sometimes it splashes out and it lands around the pitcher. Well, that's kind of what Lot is doing. He says, well, God's going to bless Abram. Well, maybe I'll get some of the crumbs. Maybe I'll get splashed on with some of those blessings that Abraham receives. And indeed, that's exactly what happens. When Abram goes to Egypt, Lot goes with him. When Abram comes back to Bethel, Lot goes with him. And in chapter 13 is the next time that we find Lot in verse 5. And it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." You see, God had been blessing Abram. His sheep were flourishing. They were having a lot of babies, and they were all living, and so he had a lot of wealth because of that. All that Abraham put his hand to was promising and was coming out well. And because of that, everything that Lot put his hand to, the same thing was taking place. God was blessing Lot as he was blessing Abraham. Well, in verse 7 of that same chapter, it says there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou go to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Jehovah exceedingly. So this is the next big event in Lot's life. This is the next big choice that he has to make. They've gotten so much, Lot and Abraham, that they're running into trouble figuring out where they're going to tend their sheep. All the herdsmen that they have are saying, well, you know what, I want this land because that's got the better grass. I want my sheep there. And so there's a falling out between their herdsmen. And Abraham says, you know what, I'd rather have peace with you, Lot. So here's my suggestion. You look wherever you want to go. And whichever direction you go in, I'll go in the opposite way. I'll go the opposite direction. Now this is the first opportunity that Lot had to make a good choice. To make the right choice. You see, what Lot did, Abraham said, you go whichever way you want. And I've heard many a preacher say, you know, Lot should have said, no, Abraham, you choose and I'll go in the opposite direction. And I completely disagree with every one of those preachers. The reason I say that is because, yeah, Lot should have stepped back and said, let the elder man choose and then I'll go the other way. That's certainly true. But what Lot really should have said was, Abraham, you know what? I don't want there to be any strife between us either, but I'm going to stick as close to you as I can. So I tell you what, instead of there being any strife between our herdsmen, you just have my sheep. You just take whatever you want. You just tell me where to put my sheep, and I'll put them there. I'm going to stick with you because I know that Jehovah is with you. I've seen it. I've seen what God has done in your life. I'm going to be near you at every step of the way. But what does Lot do? He doesn't do either of those things. He says, okay, he lifts up his eyes, and he says, oh, look, the plain of Jordan, where the Jordan River is running down, at this point, there is no Dead Sea. It doesn't exist. That's actually where Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain are. That's the plain. And the Bible says it's just as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Just as beautiful as Egypt. You think, wait a second, Egypt's not beautiful. It's full of sand and desert. Well, it didn't used to be full of sand and desert. It used to be beautiful. It used to be green and lush before the 7 years of famine when we get to Joseph later on. And Lot says, you know what, that's so beautiful. That's a perfect place to tend my sheep. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take the best there is for my sheep. That's his first big mistake, isn't it? And because what the Bible tells us is that he pitched his tents near Sodom. Near Sodom. And the Bible says that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinned exceedingly before the Lord, before Jehovah. It was a bad choice on the part of Lot. Instead of choosing to dwell with a man of God, he chose to dwell near the tents of wickedness, near the city of wickedness. The next time we find Lot is in chapter 14. Now, we're not going to read all of chapter 14 because we're going to end up getting to be reading too much. So I want to give you the breakdown of what takes place in chapter 14. There is a king. And this king, his name is Chedorlaomer. And he has four kings that he has subjected. And they go and they attack the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They attack the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and they defeat them utterly. They destroy them and they carry away all the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of the plain. This is what takes place in warfare in history. To the victor go the spoils. Well, the spoils are the people who become slaves and all their wealth and all their animals. Guess who gets caught up? Lot does. Lot gets caught up because at some point, Lot went from being a herdsman living on the plain in a tent outside of the city of Sodom to actually living in the city of Sodom. He's now living within the city walls of a city that the Bible says was full of wickedness and sin. Not a great decision, is it? Not a great thing to take place in the life of a man who wants to receive blessing. He made a choice for the fields over Abram, and now he's living in the city of sin. And not only that, those cities are defeated, and he is carried away with his family as slaves by Chedorlaomer and the kings that are with him. Well, Abraham finds out about it, and he asks God, should I do something about this for Lot's sake? And the Lord says, yes, Take some men and go, and you will have victory over Chedorlaomer and the other kings. And so Abraham chooses 300 servants. These aren't fighting men. They're 300 servants. They're probably shepherds in the fields. And he says, you guys come with me. We're going after them. And they go after Chedorlaomer and the other kings, and they defeat their armies. And they rescue all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities, including Lot. And there's not a single one of Abram's servants that is killed. They're defeated wholeheartedly. And the king of Sodom says to Abram, you know, you did a fantastic thing. If you want, take all the spoils, take all the money, all the silver, all the gold, all the animals, take all those things. Just leave the people to me, and we'll go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham says, no, no, that's I don't want that. At no point do I want someone to say, well, I made Abraham rich, because my God is taking care of me. I don't need you to take care of me. And all the people go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. What is this an opportune time for Lot to do? Now, Lot had moved to the plains, but then he moved into the city. What would he have been seeing on a daily basis? The sin of the people of Sodom. The sin of the people that are there. And it would have been hard to miss the difference of being hanging out with Abram all those years and hanging out in Sodom those years. The difference would have been striking. And Lot had an opportunity to do what? To say, you know what? I made a mistake before. I made a mistake back there when I decided to go live by the cities of the plain. I made a mistake when I decided to live in Sodom. I'm going to fix that mistake. You know what? I don't care about my stuff. Abraham, can I come with you? Can I just tag along with you and live by your side the rest of my days? That would have been the wise choice to make, wouldn't it? We can see that from our perspective so many years in the future. Well, he doesn't do that. Time moves on, and we get a number of things that have happened in Abraham's life. And in chapter 18 of Genesis, God appears to Abraham. And the first thing he does is he tells Abraham that he is going to have a son. He does this, and it's shocking to Sarah, Abraham's wife. It's shocking to Abraham. And Sarah even laughs, and so the name Isaac actually means laughter. But then God says, you know, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Because I'm going to do something. And I just want to include Abraham as my friend. And so he has Abraham come to him, and he says, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because their wickedness has come up before me. It's filled up. I can't let it go on any longer. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. They're no longer going to exist. And Abraham intercedes. He prays for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Specifically, he knows that his nephew Lot is there. And Abraham might be a bit hopeful that Lot has had some influence on the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. That maybe there's some people that have listened to Lot, who is someone who says that he trusts God. And so Abraham says, you know, God, if you find 50 righteous people there, will you destroy the city? God says, no, if I find 50 there, I won't destroy it. And Abraham says, well, what if you find 45? Is that difference of 5 people going to make that big of a difference? Will you still destroy it if you find 45? And God says, no, I won't destroy it at 45. And Abraham says, what about 40? What if you only find 40 there? And God says, I won't destroy it at 40. And Abraham keeps going on. He says, what about 30? No, I won't destroy it at 30. What about 20? No, I won't destroy it at 20. What about 10? Will you destroy it if you find 10 righteous people there? And God says, no, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if I find 10 righteous people there. And that's where Abraham stops. He must be thinking, well, I know Lot's family. I know how many kids he has. I know his wife. I know he's got it. There's at least 10 people in his family. So God won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Well, then it comes to chapter 19, and this is the chapter that we read in our scripture reading. And this is where God intervenes in the life of Lot. See, Lot is there in the city, in Sodom, and the two angels come into the center of the town, in the town square. And as is custom in the Middle East, it is required upon someone to be a good host. And so Lot sees them and says, oh, I want you guys to come home with me. Come to my house, I'll feed you, I'll let you take baths, I'll wash your clothes, you spend the night, and you get up in the morning and go on your way. There's hospitality This is the same thing that we find even today. And he does this. He seems to have a good spirit about him. And the angels, they say, no, we're just going to sleep in the town square. And Lot says, there's not a chance you're going to sleep in the town square. There's all sorts of things that are going to go on. I want you to come home with me, and I will not take no for an answer. His hospitality is commendable. And so, in they come. But of course, as they come in to his house, and he makes them a feast, and he washes their feet, he does all these nice things for them, what happens? There's a banging at the door. And all the men of Sodom have come out. And they say, we want those two men that have come into you, because we want to know them. And not in the sense of knowing as in we want to be friends with them. They want to have sexual relations with these men and abuse them in any way that they want. That's what they want to do. And Lot, and this is something that's truly appalling, he says, you know, these two men, they're under my protection. They come into my roof. You can't take them. Here, how about I give you my two daughters who haven't been with a man, have never been married? Take them instead of these two men. You think, how messed up does someone have to be to offer his two daughters to this mob who are going to do whatever they want, who's going to rape them and kill them in one night? But that's what he does. And the men, they say, no, that's not good enough. We want those two men. Don't you talk about judging us. Because what they're saying is, you're telling us we should be thinking about women, not about men. And don't come judge us. We let you into our city. Well, the angels save Lot. He's about to be killed by this press of men. And they save him. They grab him into the house. And the angels strike all the men of Sodom blind, so they can't see. They're bumping into one another and can't even find the door. And so the angels, they say, okay, get everybody you can. Get your son-in-laws, your daughters, all your family members. We need to leave. We need to leave now because God is going to destroy this city. And so Lot goes around. He goes to visit his married daughters. They've married Sodomites. They've married those that live in the city. And he says, come on, we've got to go. We've got to leave because God's going to destroy this city. And they say, you're an idiot. You're crazy. We don't believe a word you say. Think about the testimony that Lot doesn't have. We don't believe any of it. Just go away from us. This is his own family. And he lingers, and he's hoping that others are going to come. And the angels have to pull him away. The angels take him by the hand, and they take his wife by the hand, and they take his two daughters that are there by the hand, and lead them out of the city. And you think, well, that's it. They're saved. And the angels say, now see those mountains over there? Go flee to the mountains. And Lot says, you know what? I don't do well in mountains. I'd run into some dangerous animals. What should Lot have said? You know what, sir? I really don't want to go to the mountains. I'd rather go to where Abraham is. Because I know God's blessing Abraham. I'd rather go there. Could you lead me there? Could I hang out in the mountains, and when you're done destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, can you lead me to Abraham so that I can be with him? But Lot doesn't say that. He says, no, I don't want to go to the mountains. Lead me over to that city down there, that little city called Zoar. It's one of the cities of the plains. They're committing similar sins. But the angels say, you know what? The ratio's all right. I'll let you go to Zoar. You, your wife, and your two daughters, you go on to Zoar. And we won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until you're in the city. But make sure you're in the city by sundown, because if you're not, you're going to die. And Lot says, thank you very much. And he runs off to Zoar. Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. Eventually, at this time, when Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, Lot's wife doesn't even listen to what the angels said. And she looks back. And she's turned into a pillar of salt. She's killed because of her unbelief in what God has said through the angels. Lot, feeling uncomfortable in Zoar, because everybody knows Sodom and Gomorrah has been destroyed, and everybody knows that Lot fled from there somehow before they were destroyed, and so he doesn't feel comfortable. So guess where he goes? He goes to the mountains. He doesn't go to Abraham. He goes to the mountains. He flees Zoar with his two remaining daughters, and his choices have been so poor. Think about those two daughters who had been in the house, who had been there in Sodom when he said, you know what, don't take these two strangers that are under my roof, take my daughters instead. Think about that kind of a statement, how he views his own child's life. And his daughters are there and they say, you know, we've got a problem. They're just talking amongst themselves and said, we got a problem. We're two single women. We don't have a husband. If we die, and dad dies, there's nobody. Nobody to carry on the family genes. Nobody's going to come and court us while we want to have a date with us while we're living in a cave. That's not like, ooh, let's go pick somebody up in the cave. So they say, let's do this as a plan. Let's get dad drunk. And this night, we'll get him drunk, and I'll go sleep with him. And I'll have a baby by dad. The next night, we'll get him drunk again, and you sleep with him, and you have a baby by dad, and we'll carry on the family name. And that's exactly what they do. That's exactly what these two girls do. Again, you think about how awful that is. How awful a situation for a parent to have put his children in such a place. And certainly the girls bear responsibility. But the choices that Lot has made have led them to such a place. They haven't been around godly people. They've been around sodomites. They've been around people who are sinning all the time. Say, so what? So yeah, okay, I need to make better choices. How does that impact me? Well, you think about Lot, full of his foolish choices. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, what about Lot? Well, if I just read you those things, you'd think, you know, a lot of theologians, they like to sit around and they like to discuss whether certain biblical characters are Christians or not. And a lot of times you think, oh, there's no way they're a Christian. There's no way this person could have done what they did and be a Christian. And you say, I would say that most of us would feel that way about Lot. When you read that story, there's not a whole lot of redeeming characteristics, are there? But in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this. He says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. See, Peter tells us that Lot was a Christian. That making bad decisions is just not something that happens for those that are not Christians. It happens for Christians as well. And he said, Peter tells us that Lot vexed his own soul. That he did it to himself. That all the struggles and all the trials and all the troubles that he got himself into were whose fault? They were Lot's fault because of the choices he made. He put himself there. If it wasn't for Peter, we would never think that Lot was a Christian. But Peter tells us he was just Lot. That righteous man vexed his own soul with the filthy deeds of those around him. That's staggering. Did Lot earn salvation? Absolutely not. It's through God's mercy in Genesis 19. It's God's mercy that Lot is brought out. But Lot made poor choices. He vexed himself. And his family thought him crazy because his life didn't match his words. What he did didn't match up with what he said. What choices do we make? What choices, if you claim to be a Christian, reflect poorly on Christ? Are there things in your life that you say, yep, this is definitely a good choice? Or there are things that you say, you know what, I don't think this is a good choice. Your choices have an impact on the outcomes of your life. And if you're not wise in how you make those choices, you can really end up in places you don't want to be. There is no time where Lot, if you would have asked Lot when he was with Abram, and Abram said, you know, choose which place you want to go. If you would have stopped right there and said, Lot, if you choose to go, you're going to end up with just your two daughters living in a cave. Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, and your two daughters get you drunk and sleep with you to have kids. Is that where you want to end up? Is that where it's going to be? When I think about the young men I work with at the prison, there's not a one of them that would say, yep, I wanted to end up in prison. There's not a one of them. There's not a one of them that would say, yeah, this is what I wanted out of my life when I was 5 years old. And they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Not one of them would have said, oh, I want to be a drug dealer in prison. Not one of them would have said, I want to be a murderer. Not one of them would have said, I want to be a thief. But it's the choices they made that led them down those paths. How often are our difficulties our own fault? I think it's more often than not. Yes, trials come our way. But a lot of the things that we call trials are just our own poor choices. You know, Lot trusted God's word. When the city was going to be destroyed, the angels told him, he believed them. He went around to his family and said, come on, we've got to go, we've got to go. They didn't believe him, but he believed it. But understand this, even in your darkest times, God has the power to help you. Now think about what God did for Lot. Think about what Abraham did for Lot. God sent two angels to bring Lot out. He didn't send two angels to bring out Lot's wife. He didn't send two angels to bring out Lot's daughters. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Lot's daughters committed incest and fathered two of the nations that were constantly at war with Israel. Who did God send those angels for? For Lot only. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to take care of His people. He knows how to deliver you. He can deliver you. When you trust Him, He will deliver you. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out the way you want it to. But He'll deliver you. What do? You turn to Him when the choices come. Turn His way. Say like Lot should have. You know, I want to be with Abraham. That's where I want to be. You know, there have been times in my life where I made choices when I look back and I say, you know what, that was the wrong choice. Why? Because I didn't put God first. I put something else first. I put some other circumstance first. If you don't know Christ, maybe you're a bit confused and you think I'm just talking about living a good life. Well, I'm not. I'm talking about a life pleasing unto God through Jesus Christ. And it starts with Him. It starts with knowing Him. It starts with salvation through Him, through trusting His Word. You can't make good choices about being with God unless you are with God, unless God is with you through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I tell you, have your faith in Him, because you can have peace with Him, and you can live your life walking with Him no matter the circumstances. And He will bring you out of things just as He did to Lot. And hopefully, you won't be putting yourself in those situations. And so we point you to Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.